And good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being with us. A rainy one, and it was. I thought it was going to kind of pull on out, but actually, I think it's going to be here a little while. Yeah, I first thought it was going to pull out, but there's kind of a little wind in it, but there's more to come. One thing we're not getting is the unreal lightning. There is a band of lightning through what I would consider the thermal belt. I'm telling you, I don't know when I've seen that much lightning. And it's right at the bottom. It's right along Polk, Rutherford, McDowell, and then it swings down into the upstate, and it actually cuts through Spartanburg, Greenville, I think the bottom of Pickens counties. And I'm talking about unreal lightning. I don't have a way of telling you exactly how many counts it is, but I have these little legends that come up on there when little white, you know, lightning strike looking icons. There's so many of them, you can't see the radar. That's unusual. I mean, the radar's mean, you know, we've got yellow and orange and some reds on the radar, but the lightning overlays that, and it's bad. There's going to be a lot of damage from that. I mean, you can't help but burn out things. If that's cloud-to-ground lightning, then that's going to be mean for sure. All right, glad to have you with us this afternoon. We appreciate the mercy of the Lord and appreciate God's blessing here on a Tuesday. Let's look at some traffic. In spite of the weather, people are being behaved. Things are going well, clear all the way into Tennessee going west. That truck wreck was cleaned up. That truck caught fire and everything opened back up. And then everything to the top of the mountain, Swannanoa. Let's go down the mountain here. 26, 25, everybody's good. Drop down to what's going on in Spartanburg, okay? Out on 85, we've got slow traffic. It's probably the storm, actually, because it looks like to me they're right in the middle of that. So I would say that's what it is. Probably just it's raining so bad that people can't see, and so they're slowed down on both sides. The 85 loop where the old 85 went through town or went through down through the northern part of town, and now that's 585. Well, that outside loop of 85, that's where it's at from 26 up to where it comes back into 585. That whole section's just, they're not going fast at all. And I think it has to do with the storm. I really do. I've got traffic problems, and again, severe weather in Greenville right now, and so we're slow from the airport down to Pelham and just beyond. We're also, that's on the southbound 85. We're also slow between 385 there at the Motor Mile on down to 291. That's real slow, and no wrecks, but I think because you can't see because of the windshield wipers doing all they can do. And then it gets slow again down around 185 and 85 southbound. And then in town, everything's off the pace. So good. I'm glad people are slowing down. That's a good thing. And shouldn't be driving full speed in water like this. And so, yep, the weather is definitely influencing the traffic this afternoon. And as I said that, and as I look at that, we have so much precipitation that I can't even make out the county lines. That's how bad it is. And just for a brief moment, we had some, I believe it was a hailstorm, and I think I can back that up. It would have been right on the Greenville, let's look here. I believe it's on the Greenville-Spartanburg County line, right in that section. And I can't pick up enough roads, there's too much going on there. Anyway, it's about 30 air miles from us. They probably had hailstones because if you look at the temperatures behind it, they're 85, they're 88 in front of it, and it's 69 behind it. That's 69. I mean, ain't that funny? That's what we have. We're at 69. So, that's a sign probably that there's been some pretty serious hail. I don't see any damage reports yet from this, but it's still going on. So it's still early as this little I guess it's a front. I don't know what it is, but it's a big bunch of thunderstorms. And the bad part of it is they're just really not going anywhere. And you can have a lot of water come down really fast if a storm's not moving. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so be aware of that. And if you can, you know, pull over, get supper, do something, you know, try to stay out of it as much as you can. All right, let's look at the weather forecast. And the weatherman says it's only 40% this afternoon. I think most folks got their 40%. Tonight, about 40%. And then Wednesday, it's almost a carbon copy all week. Starts out 30% in the morning, 60% in the afternoon, you know, and then it'll, same thing at night, it will diminish, you know, as the night goes on. Thursday night, 60%, diminishing to 20%, that type of forecast. Saturday has got a chance of storms later, 40%. Sunday, 40%. There's not a day that I can see that doesn't talk about showers and thunderstorms. The whole, as far as we can see out. And continued hot, you know, pretty hot for the mountains, upper 80s and in upper 60s at night. That's our blessing, is that in the night it cools down. And you can still sleep with the windows open at night. Yeah, 67. That's good. All right. Well, let me say again, thank you for being on board. Let me pop in here and tell you that the 21st day, nope, the 20th, nope, we're on the wrong one. Where are we at? What's the day? Tuesday? Yep, somebody run it forward. Here we go. Here we are. Tuesday the 21st, AM 720, being sponsored by Pastor Tommy Holbrooks in honor of all the members at Stony Mountain Baptist Church. They're loved and appreciated. We appreciate Brother Holbrooks and Stony Mountain. God bless you. That's the general budget, the network budget, being sponsored so that Christ can be lifted up and proclaimed throughout the world so that all men can be drawn to Him. We say thank you for that anonymous sponsor. God bless you. Appreciate that very much. Birthdays today, Brittany Henson. Congratulations. And we're going to appreciate you being on board. 577-1296. Brianna, can you get that for me? I'm sure I'm going to need it. I dropped my phone, sounds like. 577-1296. If you're visiting the area, our area code is 828. And then our voice line is 828-884-9427. And so we're glad to hear from you either way. We would be glad to have you with us, to talk with us. And again, the text line comes straight into an iPad that I'm looking at. And so you are welcome to have direct contact with me, okay? The phones, of course, I can't talk and talk on the phone at the same time, so the phones go through Brianna. She's in Studio B, and she will get that information from you and relay it over to me. And so, yeah, we're glad to have you. You know, we don't use pencils anymore. Isn't that something? There's no pencils or pens in the control room. Everything's typed now. And, yeah, everything's all electronic. Everything's typed. No more note passing, stuff like that. Everything is, everything's done digitally and electronically. So, it's good when it works, isn't it? For sure. Let's look at some towns today and celebrate some folks that are listening. And I say that, this only does, as a matter of fact, all this does really, I think, is the app. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it does. And it doesn't do the video channel. It does WGCR.net, and then it will do WGCR music and WGCR preaching. But it does not do WGCR video. So this is never everybody. This is just the ones on the app. So let's start out in alphabetical order. Augusta, Brevard, Candler, Canton, Carson City, Nevada, Chesterfield, South Carolina, Fairfield, Connecticut, Fort Mill, Fort Oglethorpe, Franklin, that's over here in North Carolina, Gulf Breeze down in Florida, Hendersonville got a big showing today, Lancaster, South Carolina, Liberty, Leyte, Philippines, we salute you, and it would be Mabuhay, Magandang Magapo, and good morning. Yeah, and so to the folks in the Philippines, Mills River, Monette, Missouri. So I don't know if it's pronounced Monette or Monette, but it's M-O-N-E-T-T, Monette, Missouri. Murphy, of course, over here in the end of the state. New Lenox, Illinois. Don't think I've seen them before. Sheridan, Wyoming is with us. Summerall, or you know, is it Summerall? Okay, Summerall, Mississippi. Glad to have you. Sylva, North Carolina. And then about everybody else is unknown, with the exception of Wilkesboro. You got a big showing up in Wilkesboro today. So glad to have you. Appreciate you being with us, all these folks. Thank you. And if you have a smart device and you don't have the Anchor Broadcasting Network app, then you're missing out on some things, because you can touch that app. You can listen to the radio, the feed that feeds the AM, the FM, and WGCR.net. Or, I mean, I can bring it up right now. We can, I'll bring it up. It's a white app with black letters. And when I bring it up, it says, the first one is listen or radio, WGCR Radio Live. And then the one under that is the music channel. And that's one of my favorites. The only time you hear any talking is about once every quarter hour. They'll say you're listening to the music channel. And that's it. Otherwise, it's your favorite music with no commercials, no interruptions, and it's free. The preaching channel is just the opposite. The only time you'll hear a song on there is if it's got a theme song coming in, if it was a pulpit hour message or something. So preaching, between 30 and 32 messages a day, full messages, a lot of the saints that's gone on, and then, of course, a lot of folks even today. And then also on the app, we have the video channel. And the video channel is an internet television station. And it's on 24/7, 365. Not only can you see, not only can you hear preaching and singing, but you can see it. And that's available on Roku. It's available on Apple Television. What else? It's available on, I don't know, Fire, Amazon Fire. Is that right? We've got about four or five things you can pick it up on. And so if you have a smart device, you probably can get it on that. And so, plus you can listen on demand. You can actually go in and listen to this program. If you didn't get all of it, you can get some of it. You can go back and replay it. And a lot of our features, you can do that and keep up with. So, yeah, if you don't have the app, go to your app store. It works on both. It works on Apple and also Android. We're having a few little glitches on the Apple program, and we're due a complete overhaul. But with COVID, we have not had the folks who were supposed to do it for us, of course, have had not had the manpower. And so we contracted, I think, in January to have a complete remake of the app, but it hasn't happened. As a matter of fact, I reckon that there's not a part of our lives that COVID has not touched. Seriously. I mean, it's interrupted funerals. It's affected everything. And so I just don't, I just don't know. It's just hard to say, isn't it? I was talking about all this lightning. This just come up. There was a lightning strike that hit a tree at the WNC Alpine Coaster Center. And the Wilderness Run Alpine Coaster closes till further notice. It's up in Banner Elks where it's at. And several people were injured by a lightning strike Tuesday at the Wilderness Center, according to the company's Facebook post. And apparently the tree hit and then fell across out the track, whatever. And so this is that same band of lightning I was telling you about. And so it's caused that. Yeah, it's already caused that. Oh, well. All right. Well, let me say appreciate the Lord and appreciate God's goodness. And Brother Joel in the Philippines, God bless you. And I hope you enjoy that new iPad. That's a blessing. And we had a time with our Philippine pastors last night. Anchor Baptist Missions International, Philippine Islands, is a separately incorporated entity. and is a 501c3 tax-exempt entity in the Republic of the Philippines. And we got that status years ago, and now we have 22 pastors that work with us, that are a part of the mission, and that we've been supporting through the food drives and all the other things. And so we were able to preach last night by a Zoom meeting. And, of course, they're on lockdown, so there's only a handful that could get together, you know, in person. Most of them join us via Zoom over the computer. But the thing about it is, when you do Zoom, somebody asked me, they explain what that means. It's video telephone. I can see them, they can see me, and it's a whole bunch of them. And every time one logs in, there's another one pops up. I had a 70-inch screen in front of me, and it was full of people. And they were sitting there watching from all over. We tied Robert Jones in from Salt Lake City, Utah. We tied R.R. Davina in from the north of the Arctic Circle in Alaska. We tied in Manila in with Legazpi City, Boreas Island, Masbate, I don't know how many all together, but we had a good crowd, good spirit, and we just appreciate what the Lord did there. And, of course, I was supposed to have been there in a missions conference, and so we decided, of course, couldn't go. So we decided to do it virtually and just have that one day of it and then take those funds and put it into the ministry there that they could use some things, some tools that they needed to be able to broadcast and to be able to do their Facebook streams and everything else while their churches are shut down. And we say, to God be the glory. And we do appreciate how the Lord blessed last night, and again appreciate all that the Lord did. All right, well, I wanted to, if I can, and I know you're tired of hearing it. Lord, you don't know how tired I am of hearing it. That's the truth. Let me give you the numbers. Okay. Boy, they're climbing fast. Today, we're at the world numbers. Is it 14,774,887 confirmed cases? Globally, deaths are now 611,599 people have died. I was looking here, the United States, our number, this is amazing, you know, we're continuing to outgrow any of the countries. And I kept thinking some of these more populated countries were going to catch us. It's not so. And still today, within a little bit, it's real close. If you take the 2.1 million in Brazil, the 1.1 million in India, we just round the numbers, that gives us, what, 3.2? And then there are 700,000 in Russia. So that would give us, what, 3.9? United States is at 3,858,686. In other words, the United States has more cases than Brazil, India, and Russia combined. What's the answer? The president has just said that if you want social distance, wear a mask. I mean, he's just, you know, he's come down pretty hard on that. There's been conflicting reports about that. And while, yes, first responders, doctors, all the others, they do wear mask and it does protect them. The mask that everybody is wearing these days, just the cloth covering type mask, it will filter some, especially with, like, if it's, you know, a saliva particle or something, someone's talking to you and there's an aerosol spray, something like that will catch it. It won't filter out the virus itself, but it would catch a droplet of something. So they do help. But the biggest thing is that you don't infect somebody else. If, now let me just tell you how this works. If everybody in the United States would wash their hands, social distance, wear a mask, we could be done with this thing in about 14 days. But they won't. So, now what? The rest of the world is looking at us in amazement. There was a big tabletop exercise run that actually concluded the first part of this year. And the developed countries of the world got together and they threw out scenarios, a biological war, and then they threw out nuclear war. And they looked at resources and plans and things that were already in place to see who was the most prepared and where you need to fix it. And so, you know, some of the more developed countries participated in this. The United States came out number one. Our preparedness level was like 85, 87, maybe it was 87, but it was in the 80s for a pandemic or nuclear attack, that we were the number one country in the world that were prepared for this in a tabletop exercise. But when it really happened, the president today again insisted the China virus, he continues to use the term, the China virus. Several times the president has alluded to we are at war against the virus. I want to ask you a question. If there was proof positive that this was a biological attack, if this indeed was released on purpose, if it actually came from the Biological Weapons Center in Wuhan rather than the wet market, if it actually came from the biological warfare labs in Wuhan and was unleashed upon America and the rest of the world, and they could prove that this was a biological attack, would you wear a mask? Would you social distance? Would you demand your rights to go and do unimpeded? I don't think so. I think if we knew that this was an attack, and if not China, but whoever it is, if we knew this was attack, I think we'd approach this differently. And the president has alluded to it, and I cannot say he said that it was an attack. But he will not call it COVID-19. He calls it the China virus. And he's not budging on that. Today's his first talk he's had in a while. And guess what he's going to call it? The China virus. Yeah. That's what he's calling it, the China virus. There's a reason for that. And I don't understand all I know about it. But I really believe if we knew that this was a deliberate thing, if we knew if we knew that there was, you know, this was deliberate, I think we would do different. I really do. I think we'd do different. I'm going to bring up here, Brother Walton was just telling me that there's some maps. Daniel says they did not factor in the human element in the tabletop exercise. That's exactly what it is. The problem is that's the one thing we can fix, or should be able to. We should be able to say to a population of people, look, guys, this is the problem and this is how we fix it. But no, no, not doing it. Matter of fact, I've seen some people get almost in a cuss fight because the manager says you need to wear a mask. And they go, I'm not wearing one. That's, you know, that's this is a joke. It ain't even real. You ought to hear all the stuff I've had it said. And he said, well, it don't matter whether you believe it or not. This is the CDC guidelines. And you're making other customers uncomfortable. By the way, if they tell you to leave and you don't, they may not, but they can call the law and they can have you charged. Because all it takes is for you to be told to leave and to refuse to leave, and now you're trespassing. And that's true anything. That's true all the time. That's true all the time. This is scary. Okay, here we go. Maybe not. Okay, I was looking at it wrong. All right. So not as scary as I first thought. I talked to you yesterday about that big drop, how that we had a two-day drop. It rolled down. We only had 1,268 cases reported yesterday. And then the day before, it was only 1,820 new cases in North Carolina. But a new record was the 18th with 2,481 cases. Well, today she spiked back big time. Yeah. I think it's because that some tests are coming back. I think that's what it is. 1,815 new cases confirmed today in the state of North Carolina. So if you look at the seven-day rolling average, okay, we came up, we've had a little dip, but it's only Tuesday. So we'll see, because the trajectory right now is up. We'll see what that does to this rolling average, as we call it. On the graph, there is the actual numbers, and then there's a yellow line that's called the rolling average, and it shows you kind of what the average is for the time. It gives you the trends. Are we going up? Are we level? Are we going down? And so it works well. This is on the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, COVID-19, on what they call the dashboard, is where I'm getting a lot of this from. Almost 1.5 million completed tests, although we didn't do many, today. But 24,000, okay, completed on the 21st, 30,000 the 20th, 30,000 on the 19th. 32,000 is the most we've done in one day in the state. When you look at the people in the hospital, I think we got a new record today. Well, it is a new record by one. So we've had it actually drop down 3 days in a row, and now it's back up to a new record. 1,179 people in the hospital in North Carolina today with COVID-19. Let me give you some county numbers. In Transylvania County, officially now we're up to 96 cases and one death. In Jackson County, 293 cases and three deaths. Haywood County, 192 cases and no deaths. In Madison County, 24 cases and no deaths. Buncombe County, 1,223 cases and 41 deaths. In Henderson County, 1,137 cases and 52 deaths. Polk County, 117 cases and 5 deaths. Rutherford, 472 cases, 11 dead. McDowell County, 411 cases with 3 dead. In the Northern Mountains, Yancey, 68 cases. Nobody has died yet. Mitchell County, 60 cases. One has died. In Avery County, 52 cases and no deaths yet. All right. That gives you a little picture of Western North Carolina. But I can tell you that Henderson County is running about 97 cases per 10,000 resident. Buncombe County is about half that, 47 cases per 10,000 residents. And so let me look, run back over here and look. But still, you wouldn't think this, but the highest in Western North Carolina, the highest county with the highest rate per 10,000, that's because population is low, is Macon County. They have an infection rate of 111 people per 10,000 residents. You drop down to Mecklenburg, 17,800 down in Charlotte, and they made the top 50 counties in America with it. 177 deaths and 163 cases per 10,000. That's big. Yeah, that's a lot. So if you look, it kind of follows the interstates. You can kind of go through, plus the big cities. Of course, you know, it starts with Winston-Salem, and then, you know, your other counties, you know, Greensboro, Raleigh, Durham, you know, all of those, all of that whole area, badly infected. And then even in, like, in Greenville, North Carolina, and over in that direction, a lot of cases. And then, and of course, all the way down towards Charlotte. So Rowan, Davidson, Cabarrus, and then down to Mecklenburg. And then Gaston and Union on either side of that, also real bad. So, yeah, it's a tough situation. Tough situation. There've been a lot of people have been saying, how in the world are we going to have school? How are they going to do the buses? How's that possible? What are they going to do? Well, I was reading what Buncombe County is looking at. Number one, they're going to have the bus driver drive the bus and nothing else. They're going to have a monitor on each bus. That monitor will greet the child and will take its temperature to see if it has a fever. If it does not have a fever, then it's allowed to get on the bus. There will be one child per seat unless they're brothers and sisters. And so if they're brothers and sisters, they can all sit in the same seat. But a child cannot sit with anybody that he's not related to. And, of course, the new buses have the real high backs. So for smaller kids, they're kind of enclosed. Unless they cough across the aisle, you know, they've got some barrier. That's going to cut down on the capacity of the buses, obviously, if you can only have one kid per seat. But the initial thing that we were looking at was that if the bus driver had to take the temps, what are you going to do with kids at the bus stop? Mom and dad left for work. They get on the bus. One of them's running a fever that's not acceptable. There's nobody home. Mom and dad already left. And now you got this kid who's got a fever. That driver can't leave that child. You know, I mean, you can't. So what are you going to do? You bring them on the bus? Are you going to have that big yellow bus set there with the red flashers on until they can find somebody? I don't know. It's a question that bears pondering, doesn't it? It really does. It bears pondering. And so we are, yeah, it's a place we've never been. And that's the thing about this. You know, I've got people that are, you know, been very critical, saying a lot of things, you know, some critical for folks being too conservative. You know, others are critical, you know, for people being too liberal. You know, there is no, everybody's got to find their way through this. We've never been here before. We have never, this generation never has. The United States has been here before, but never in the technological age that we have. Of course, the 1918 Spanish flu was worse than this. Killed more people than this. And we had very little means of fighting it. In some cases, wiped out whole communities. It dropped the average age of everybody. It dropped the average age by 10 years. It killed so many people. The average age, or the what do you call it when you're looking when you're life expectancy? There's the word. The life expectancy of Americans dropped 10 years because that thing killed so many people. And just like this one, there was on lockdown, everything had been closed, the churches had been closed, everything had been closed. They were trying to sell war bonds to pay for the war. So the city of Philadelphia, against medical advice, decided that they would have a big parade and that they would sell war bonds and that they would have some of the war heroes, you know, and all in it. And they would have it in Philadelphia, ticker tape type parade, and that they would, you know, wouldn't hurt. Well, they had it. And by the next day, there were no room in any hospital in Philadelphia. In the next week, by the end of the week, there was no more room for bodies in any of the morgues. It killed thousands just in the city alone, just people who came to the parade. This is how bad it was. There were three ladies who were playing bridge, and they played late into the night, healthy. By the next day, three of the four were dead. People smothered to death. They couldn't breathe. We didn't have respirators. People died. It was huge, sudden onset. And you know, we really don't know that much about that one. Could have been something like this. It could have been. We don't know. We called it the influenza. That's, you know, I've heard people say, well, that's what this is. Well, yes and no. If you want to try to compare it to the seasonal flu, no, it's not even close. No, this is way different. And that's not my opinion. That is from people who have large degrees in this. A microbiologist told me it's one of the most contagious coronaviruses that she's ever seen. The most contagious, and she's never seen anything like it. And she studied them for a living, and she said she's never seen anything like it. Yeah. Let's go back to, I talked about hospitalizations there a while ago. I was trying to go back and find my capacities. Okay, they've changed my, they have changed my stats, and now I can't figure out how to read them. Because it used to be easy, and they turned them all sideways. And I'm a graphic learner, but they threw me a curve here. All right, because I don't have any percentages now. I was trying to see how the hospitals are faring. Yeah. Right now, in hospital beds in North Carolina, we have 13,175 beds that are occupied and in use, okay, in North Carolina. That's total. That's how many people's in the hospital, 13,175. Of those, 1,739 are intensive care beds. No, excuse me, that's in addition to. So inpatient hospital beds, that's regular, you know, treatment, 13,175. Intensive care, 1,739. We still have like 500 intensive care beds available. And then as far as ventilators, we have 887 ventilators in use. Now, not necessarily all of those are from COVID. You know, there are other things that happen, and people have to be on ventilators, obviously. But we, as far as that number is concerned, we're still in real good shape. 2,421. That's how many are left. That's how many we have available. Just some things that folks are sharing with us here this afternoon. Sonny has shared with us that Hot Dog World in Hendersonville is closed temporarily due to an employee testing positive. Wow. Fred Anderson Toyota had to close their shop temporarily for the same reason. Don't know how much it's related, but the Fun Depot has announced they're going out of business. I guess all these months with nobody there, I guess it's just been more than they could do, you know, say. Good point. Doug says the reason that they're not doing what the CDC says is because they don't trust their government because they've been lied to so much. I have no problems with that statement. And all right. And then someone has asked, what community was wiped out by the Spanish flu back in the day here in Transylvania County? It was called Nineveh, like Nineveh, but in the New Testament pronunciation, Nineveh. Nineveh, I've tried to find out if I'm thinking right. Nineveh, you turned up. Let me think a minute. What's the name of the road? I apologize for being just a little bit foggy this afternoon. About 3 o'clock, I broke down and took a pain pill, knowing that it does this. But I was there. I didn't have any choice, so I took one, hoping I would get past it. I've drunk some caffeine trying to get it, but it's still. I know it. I just can't bring it up. You know what I'm saying? The road that turns up to the left across from the Balsam Grove Community Center and Fire Department, and I know it as well as I know my own name, Tennessee Mountain. Yeah, Tennessee. Tennessee Gap. Is it Tennessee Gap? Yeah. You go up through there, somewhere in and around, I think, Woods Memorial, and maybe back this side of that, the town of Nineveh, to the point they had their own post office. Somebody has a postcard or something, a letter or something, somebody showed me, stamped Nineveh, North Carolina. Let me tell you just a quick story, and we could get him on here to verify. Lamar Owen, who is the interim pastor at Macedonia, and, of course, one of our professors in the Bible college, his dad took him to the cemetery and showed him all of his friends that died. And at Macedonia Baptist Church, and I don't know which cemetery, I don't know which side, there was nobody left in the family to bury the last survivor. And the neighbors had to do it. Whole families wiped out. Whole community wiped out. It happened. And I don't know exactly, 1918, 1919, I know it was the Spanish flu. I know that. But before his death, Lamar's dad took him to the cemetery and pointed at the graves and told him the names of all the children and all of his friends and basically depopulated that whole area. And was particularly hard on children. It also was very hard on young men, for whatever reason. And, of course, the elderly. I mean, it was hard on everybody, but lots of kids died. But for whatever reason, and they think it had to do with the war, maybe, it targeted soldier age. Lots and lots of soldiers coming back died. They say that the flu claimed more than the war. That's what they say. The flu claimed more than the war. I believe that I'm telling it right, that my wife's great uncle died. I think one died with a plane crash and the other died with influenza. I believe I'm telling it right. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for, and I appreciate the advice. I do. Thank you. And I'm on one called Tramadol, and it is one of the milder narcotics. It is a narcotic, but it is one of the milder ones, and one of the more tolerable ones. The primary thing that it does, I have to pause a lot when I'm talking because I have to think what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to pull something out. I know it's there, but I just can't reach and get it. Sometimes, if I've had a bad night or something, I do that anyway. And then some of those bad nights, I get dyslexic and I say things backwards. I read things backwards. It's weird because you look at it and you think, I mean, you process it differently, and you'll read it and then you say, that's not how that verse goes. I know that verse. That's not how that verse goes. And you look at it, and sure enough, you read it and messed it up. You switched the words around. Anybody else do that? Yeah, it's just kind of it's a thing. So anyway, thank you for being on with us this afternoon. Thank God again for his blessing and again for the Lord's mercy. The hospital has a call today, and they have moved my surgery earlier. So I think I'm the first that day, and it's a week from tomorrow. But because of what's going on, there's such a big issue about the quarantines and the COVID and all the other things. The only way they'll let me in the hospital is if I go to one of their facilities and I'm tested for COVID-19, what they call the extensive testing, within 4 days of admission. Well, you can't get that around here. You can't. If you get the McCullen test, it's what they're giving in most of the counties. That's just the 10 times round nose swab. They're only 48 hours, but there's such a backlog. Some of them's taking 7 days. I don't have that. But the second part of that is, not only do I have to drive down there to have the test, at that point, I have to quarantine. Once I've taken the test, that's it. And I cannot be around anyone except my wife. So it takes me out an extra weekend, and I don't like that. But that's the way it's got to be. And so I start quarantine Saturday. And so basically this is my last week. I'll be here, of course, tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. I've got a couple of different ones that are going to be doing the prayer time for me. I've got some folks that are going to be doing that for me, and I've got Brother Walton. He'll be probably the primary because Brother Jones is traveling, and then I've got Brother Jones as a backup, and then I've also got Brother Brian Coates as a backup should I need that. And then I also, Brother Brian is going to be doing morning devotion, so he's going to take that for me. And then I have got the pulpit filled for 5 weeks. So I've got the pulpit filled starting Sunday through the end of August. Now, of course, I was supposed to be in the Philippines this week, and of course, didn't get to go. And then I was supposed to be in South America. I'm supposed to start a meeting in South America the 20th of August, and obviously can't do that. And then I was supposed to start a meeting on the Lakota Sioux Reservation the first Tuesday in September, but obviously not going to get to do that. So between COVID and back surgery, So I don't know exactly how long I'll be down. They're going to cut a muscle. They're going through a muscle that controls your left leg, and they're going to go in through my side and take the cages in that way. And they're going to put cages around the spine, then they're going through the back and put the screws in through the big muscles. And it's a 4-hour surgery, so it's quite involved. And they'll rebuild my entire lower back. I'll be fused all the way up to L3. So I won't have much movement. I'll have a little bit, but I won't have much. But if we can stop the sharp pain and stop the, because it's basically, I've ever since the first of the year, I have been pretty much disabled. I've not been able to do hardly anything, and including walking. So I have been between a scooter and a wheelchair and hobbling. That's what I've been doing for the past 6 months. And so had to make the decision, had to make the call. And pretty much doctor made it for me. Said, you either put up with it the rest of your life or let us fix it. Says, okay, let's fix it. So there we go. But some good hands here. Things will be fine. And I'm going to, by the Lord's help, by the Lord's grace, going to take a bit of a sabbatical, medical leave, and see if we can rest up and recharge our batteries and hit her again. Now, I won't say running. Hit the ground running. I won't say running, but hit the ground shuffling my feet. Rapidly. How's that? Yeah, anyway, thank you all. I've had so many people offer things and offer to do things and everything. Thank you, and including our church and, of course, our staff and our students and all the rest. It's been a blessing, and I really appreciate that. I do appreciate it very much. I've had some real concerns about my wife in downtown Charlotte with all the riots and everything. And so my men said, hey, somebody's going to Williams, and we're paying the hotel bill. You'll have escorts everywhere you go. You don't have to worry about it. We'll take care of it. That's a blessing. Be hard to be in the hospital and then worried about if your wife got back to the hotel or not, That'd be tough. So I appreciate them doing that. And that's real. I mean, that's the kind of folks we got. So thankful. So grateful. And we're blessed. I tell you, we're blessed. Blessed beyond measure, for sure. All right. Well, again, thank you for being on board. A lot of folks joined with us halfway through, and we're glad to see you. And, glad to see a lot of the folks that have joined up. I was still trying to look and see these thunderstorms. They are drifting east slightly, but not fast. I mean, they're still pounding the upstate. And while they've drifted about a county to the east, and it may be moving a little bit to the north. Yeah, I guess they are moving a little bit to the north now, east and northeast. But these have been some mean storms right here, I'm telling you. And we're seeing 20-degree temperature differentials, at least 20 degrees. But once these storms come through, it's dropped 20 degrees in a matter of minutes in a lot of these places. Yeah. I'm going to try to figure out how to use these maps. I see what Roger was telling me, that they had done this as far as hospitalizations and stuff. But I've clicked on two or three things and have not got a whole lot of results. So apparently I'm doing it wrong. I'll go home and see if I can retrain myself on the new way they did this. All right. Thank you so much for being on board. Thank God again for His mercy. And appreciate again God's grace this afternoon. Let's seek the Lord's face together if we can. Father, we come into your presence asking, Lord, for the divine intervention, the hand of God, Lord, in the affairs of this country. And Lord, all the countries that are battling this disease, Lord, all the preachers that are affected, all their congregations, Lord, churches closing their doors permanently. Lord, we're asking and praying, God, that you would bless and help. And Lord, may this be a time, Lord, that the church becomes relevant to the needs of the community in the hour in which we live. Lord, help us to be wise in knowing the times, the understanding the times in which we live. Lord, may we not spend our time cursing the darkness. But Lord, may we spend our time and efforts kindling a fire and causing light to shine in dark places. Father, we pray that you'd help us. We pray, Lord, for those that are sick, those in the hospital, those that have loved ones, they can't even get to them, to even comfort them because of the disease. Lord, please intervene. Lord, several prominent preachers that we know that are either flat on their back or flat on their stomachs because they can't breathe on their backs, on ventilators, keeping them alive. Please, Lord, raise them up from those beds of affliction. For these that have died, Lord, please. For a missionary that died there on the reservation in the Navajo reservation, please, Lord, raise up somebody to go there and take his place. Lord, for these others that have died in Bolivia and the Philippines and India and Pakistan and Haiti, Venezuela, Lord, please help these preachers, these churches to move forward. Help them, Lord, or to do more for the glory of God than they ever have. Lord, help us in these hours. Lord, we'll thank you for all you do. Save the soul that's nearest hell today. Get glory to yourself, we ask in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Until we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.